to the last lecture. So the first thing that we'll do is one example of this model of the collapse of the wave function. So yesterday, first we discussed many words, and then the Bohmian mechanics, actually first the Bohmian mechanics and then many words, which are two approaches in which the Schrödinger equation is still absolutely valid. So one doesn't touch the Schrödinger equation. The new elements are, so to say, that in Bohm, one considers only one trajectory, so the particles at position, while in Everett, you just forget about the collapse and you take into account the superposition of wave functions as they are. So, but the Schrödinger equation is perfectly valid in both of them. Now the question is, of course, if this is the case, and there were some approaches in which the collapse of the wave function was taken as a physical phenomenon in, so to say, models that try to describe the collapse in such a way. And this is one of the oldest one of such approaches. This is the one of Girardi, Rimini, Weber, so which is usually called GRV. Girardi, Rimini, Weber. And it goes back to many years ago. Just check. I should have it here. I mean, surely to the 80s, but even before. But I don't find it here. So when was the original paper? I look for it later in the break. But should we go back to the 80s or to the 70s even? I want to like to check then to tell you. But so which is the basic idea of it? The basic idea is some new dynamics. Actually, GRV does it in a pretty, effective way. So they say that at a certain time intervals that are, so to say, Poisson randomized, each wave function encounters a spontaneous localization. And now we'll say what it means. But the first point is that there is a new constant of nature, a new physical number, which is, so to say, the frequency at which this spontaneous localization takes place. So the number that they use is something like 10 at the minus 16 second minus 1. So that means that, I mean, pretty often, each particle encounters such a localization. I wanted just to check. Yeah, this is the correct number. Of course, I should describe how does it work. But there is already, a frequency that comes in from the very beginning. I think that the best is to consider an example. Consider a wave function at the time t equals 0, psi of x, and let's assume that a spontaneous localization takes place exactly at the time t equals 0. So you start with this, and then the wave function is modified by itself. I mean, this is a physical process. So you don't have to act, you don't have to measure nothing. This happens, so the idea, the hypothesis is that it happens by itself. And this is some normalization n, a localization function that localizes the wave function on a point x0, and the old psi of x. And for this particular case, this localization function is assumed to be, I will then do a series of examples in order that visualize it better. But first I write down the equation. This localization function is a simple Gaussian centered in this x0. This is actually 2rc squared, and alpha is actually 1 over rc squared, and then of this is a normalized function, and they say in a second why this is important. So basically what happens, you start with a certain function, and you multiply by a Gaussian centered in a certain x0. So the wave function is localized now around x0, so to say. But one has to be careful, because the question is, according to which probability it is localized in x0, so which x0? Of course, this is also subject to a certain probability. And so the probability density that the localization takes place in x0 is f of x0, the integral from minus infinity to infinity, L x0 x squared times the wave function squared. And this is in the x. So this is the probability. First it says, why this one? But the first point, let's see that it is consistent. Of course, if I take an integral, so if I consider which is the probability to localize it here, here, I mean, along the wall x-axis, I should get one. And indeed, if you do the integral from minus infinity to infinity of f x0 dx0, one can bring it here, and the integration over over this localization function is 1, because this is a normalized Gaussian, by definition. So one get integral dx, then inside I have the integral over dx0 L x0 x squared cx squared dx. This is now 1. But then I can use the, of course, the normalization of our original wave function, and I get then 1. So it means that, of course, I mean, the localization takes place somewhere. And I mean, it truly takes place, and we should then see where that follows this probability. Here, there is a normalization function n, which assures that the new wave function is fully normalized. But this doesn't enter here. Now, this actually is important. Of course, otherwise you would lose that normalization. So the normalization n renormalizes this new wave function. This is the new wave function after the localization, but doesn't enter then here. Here you take really only the localization function squared, wave function squared. Before going on and see how it works, look that there is a second constant here, RC, which is the width of the localization of the GRV. This is a second constant that is not part of standard quantum mechanics, and this is taken as 10 at the minus 7 meter. So this is actually rather large for microscopic bodies. So these numbers are chosen in such a way, and the idea is that if you take one electron in a superposition or subposition, you do not change standard results. So this localization process will not destroy fast the superposition of position of an electron. But if you take a big body or very long distances, then this localization process will be very fast. And you localize either one or the other. And now we will see exactly how it works. So, I think that the best is to make some example to see how this localization works. As you see, it is very effective in the sense that there are two new constants of nature, a frequency at which the localization takes place, and the width, so the dimension connected to this localization. So let's consider a wave function. I take it real and positive for which is something like this, and let's take that its dimension is much smaller than RC. This RC, I mean, this localization of the GRV approach, so this 10 to the minus 7 meter. So our idea is that if you have an electron in such a form, you shouldn't change, by this localization, shouldn't change its form. Actually, the first question is, where should this localization, I mean, where will you localize? Where should be this x0 be? Let's take this point as the center as xn. This probability density is something of this type. The probability to, let's say, localize at x0, the probability density, this is the integral from infinity to infinity, L is 0x squared, cdx squared x. So if you take this x0 very far from the center, you have the multiplication of basically that function, and suppose that this localization is also a function. Let's say that you take it very far, that you have, that would be the this localization function centered in x0, okay? The product is basically zero. So in that case, you will never localize, this is why you have this. You will never localize far away from where the wave function is. Actually, you will mostly localize already where it is, because there you have the probability, because there you have an overlap of the localization function, L, together with your original wave function. So in this, so you will not there. But you, most probably, so the highest probability is that when x0 is actually close to xn. But in this particular case, if you do that, since the you take x0 equal xm or around that, since this localization function is a very broad one, once you multiply, this is basically a constant, once you multiply them and you renormalize, basically you change nothing. So psi of x goes to normalization, localization of a kind instead of x0 will be most probably close to the center value x psi of x, this is basically equal to psi of x. You change nothing because you multiply your picked Gaussian by a Gaussian which is very broad and renormalize everything. So the broad Gaussian is basically a constant and you will change nothing. So the basic result, if you take one sharply localized electron, this spontaneous localization will not change its features. It will stay the same. On the other hand, you could consider the case to put an electron in a very broad super, very broad wave packet. And this is actually what it would take place in quantum mechanics because the wave packet becomes broader and broader if you leave them in time. So suppose to have some something of this type, some we start with the wave function of something of this, with some center at some xn, but the width, let's take it is much larger than this RC 10 to the minus 7 meter. We can think to put an electron in such a superposition, in such a, yeah, in such a, with such a wave function, with such a broad wave packet. This is the max. And now, let's apply the localization. The localization now is shorter. It can be anywhere. Okay, it will not be the probability that it is where the wave function is, for instance, is small. It will be very small. Let's say that the localization is around the point x0, for instance, where the wave function is sizable. So this is the localization function. It is something of this type. When you multiply them and renormalize again, so the new function is basically the localized function. So you have your electron, so psi prime of x, the new wave function of the electron, is now localized around x0 with this 10 to the minus 7 meter. So in that case, you really localize, you really change the wave function, and you got a localized one with this 10 to the minus 7 meter. So basically, the GRV is telling you telling you, you cannot keep wave function which is broader than 10 to the minus 7 meter, because the localization brings it back. So this is what you you would get in this particular case. So more than 10 to the minus 7 meter, you cannot go. Okay, and now the next is good. So I say this is, it looks still a bit, at least I would say, effective in the sense that we don't have an presented in this term. We do not have, so to say, a new equation. One can put in a form of a new equation for the statistical operator, by the way. But at least it was the first attempt to go beyond Schrödinger and to have some kind of localizations. And as I say in a second, this also solves other problems. The first thing that we will look is not only when we have, so to say, the squeezing of a broad wave packet, but what when we have a superposition of two different positions. This is what we do. So when the electron or particle.
What is Hitzig zero?
What?
Which
x zero? That is a probability.
Okay, so.
It is given by this distribution. So what does it mean? This x zero is everywhere, basically, where the wave function was large before the collapse. Because it is given by this. So because it is this overlap here. If this is if this is small, I mean, if the overlap, you would take an x0 very far from the wave function, this product is a small number. So the probability is small, so to say. So of course, that can be. It's simply that the probability is lower.
So this x0 gets chosen when?
When you have the localization, the process itself comes with this x0. So why I took it here and not here? No idea. It could have exactly, I mean, the wave function is basically very large in this example. Anything where the wave function is large has a similar probability. So it could have localized here, but also here. So that happens right. So you start with this broad wave function, it can localize here or here. Everywhere where the wave function was large, basically, it can localize. And by the way, in all this, in this way, you also, so it is like a self-measurement. It measures by itself, so and then it collapses. But the fact is that the wave function really changes shape after the process. So the next is when we have a superposition of two positions in the sense that we have two bumps in the two bumps in the wave function. So basically, the idea of GRV and all of these approaches is that we go back to the original idea of Schrödinger. What counts is the wave function. Everything is a wave. Particles are also waves and so on. It's simply that these waves experience these additional dynamics, these collapse dynamics. But they are still well-defined. They are still waves. So there are no, so to say, particles. Particles are a wave packet. Okay, let me consider the following example, where the wave function of the electron is something like this. Again, I take it real and positive, I mean, for simplicity. So here, we have two bumps, which are very far from each other. The width of a single bump is much smaller. Let's take it smaller than this RC. But the distance among the two bumps, we can take it larger than RC. So the question is, what does the localization do? Well, the localization can take place everywhere. But the probability to have a localization is larger where the wave function is larger. So it will be either here or here, because here the wave function is very small. Suppose that, for instance, you have a localization around this around the point A, we can put it in A. So the wave function, before the collapse, is something like, apart from a normalization, of course, E minus lambda x minus A squared plus E minus lambda x plus A squared. So you either have a bump in A or a bump in minus A. And we can take this distance of 2A much larger than this constant RC. Then we have a localization. What you will get, apart from a new normalization function, you have E, and then this minus alpha divided 2, so this is 1 over C. So I take the localization exactly the point A for simplicity. So what you get here, x plus A, is the product of this with this is basically zero, because this is the bump at x equal minus A multiplied by this localization function, which will be something like this, because it's much larger than RC but smaller than the distance. Okay? Then this piece is killed. And what you get is only the first one. But since you assume that this width is much smaller than RC, the product only leaves the original one. So basically, you have a new normalization, n bar e minus lambda x minus a squared. So the localization killed one of the bump, of course with probability 1/2, and you are just left with basically the original wave function if the width was much smaller than RC. Exactly as before, didn't change. So this is 1/2. So lambda is 1/2 this distance squared, of course. So nothing changes, but, I mean, in that peak. But that peak has disappeared. So this is how, so to say, GRV works in this particular example. So if you try to put a big object, or no, sorry, this is still a small object. If you try to put a small object in a superposition of two different positions, whose distance is much larger than this constant, this, of course, how long you have to wait, 10 to the minus 16 seconds, basically. And then it goes either here or there. Of course, it should be stressed. This is a new dynamics. It's not part of the Schrödinger equation. The linearity is broken. This is non-linear. So it is, in principle, testable, clearly, because there are new these new numbers, lambda and RC, that comes into both the frequency of the localization and the width of the localization are part of, are testable.
It's not legitimate, but how can one see interference fringes with a double slit experiment if after 10 to the minus 16 second everything goes to a Gaussian? A Gaussian is not self-interfering.
But we have... No, this is discussed. You have no problem for this kind of experiment. Because you never, for that, you do not destroy that what you see, of course. This is why they chose those numbers, in that sense. So I've...
So there is still interference even after the collapse?
No, the wave function still stays the same, of course. The wave function still stays the same. No, but for the... I guess for the, let's see if we take a, I have to look. I'm sure that they discussed exactly this, so that it doesn't change all what we know. So for all the systems where we do experiments, it doesn't change. But there is one thing that I still would like to say.
But shouldn't, if you choose a Mach-Zander interferometer, which is macroscopic, the light crossing time should be larger than 10 to the minus 16 seconds, and the separation will be, I don't know, but this separation, which is much larger than 10 to the minus 7. Why does this work?
Good question.
Okay.
It should collapse.
Yeah.
The question, it shouldn't collapse so fast to one or to the other. I mean, everything collapses to either one or the other. The question is, for small bodies, to live long enough to see this. And this is what I do not see at this point. But it was discussed. I will look later on this. Of course, it was discussed because this was the basic question that they asked. You wouldn't destroy, you don't want to destroy all the predictions and the QM results that you have. And so, and this is the case. The other, but there is something that works pretty well is with this approach is what if we try to put, so if we have a superposition of a big body, if you try to put not only an electron, for which you also observe this localization, but suppose that you put a big object. Here. And so let me do the same. So I again have, let's say, bumps of this type. But now instead of having only one particle, I have n particles. So this is actually for one of them. But suppose that you have, this is x1, and let's call this xa and xb. And I start from a wave function, which is a superposition of n different particles. So let me call it the following. So ipsa x1. So this is actually the bump localized at xa. And for each particle that I assume to have the same. To have the same wave function for each particle, simply with a different. So each particle, so you have n particle either localized here or localized here, and you have a superposition of a big body, so to say if n is large, where each particle is either on the in xa, so on the left, or in xb on the right. And then the point is that here, each particle now has a certain probability to undergo a localization. What it is nice is that it is enough that one particle gets localized and all the big body gets localized. So this is the trick which avoids to put a macroscopic object into superposition. So you can say the following. We can say that the localization takes place at around xb. There on the right, it could be also there, this is. But only one particle, the particle kappa, experiences the localization. The wave function then, actually I should say here x1 up to xn to be precise, because this is the wave function of n body. But once you get that, the new wave function, so after the localization, of course, apart from a normalization constant, get, suppose that the particle kappa gets the localization around XB, then the rest is the same. Of course, in the middle there will be this is kappa, CA XN, plus localization around XB of the kappa of the kappa variable, CB X1, CB X N. This is also an N. Now, the product of this one with this one is basically zero. Again, if we take the localization around XB and the other one in XN, the difference, the distance is far enough, this is basically zero. And this this product basically doesn't change this one. So you kill this one, the part again, but the whole one, also all the other particles. So the whole superposition gets reduced to the macroscopic body localized around the bump at XB. So the wall. And now the point is that this localization should be is very effective and is large because it's enough that one particle gets it. So and the whole big object gets this localization. So it's enough one particle, so you have an Avogadro number, this is very effective. So this is the idea besides it. I would like then later, when in the break, I check again these numbers, because I remember that I'm sure that it was, there is no problem for, that I remember that microscopic bodies can keep their interference and their quantum properties pretty long, but I... Yes,
so
yes.
It takes you a very long time, not a very short time. Right?
Yeah. Yes, sorry, yeah, of course.
Okay.
So for a single electron, and this also answers the question, for a single electron that can stay pretty long in the superposition because that localization doesn't take place that often. When it takes place, then yes. But when you have a big body, the situation, what it counts is not anymore lambda, but n lambda, because it's enough that one gets the localization. Yes, so it's not the time, it's one over, yeah? So you go to 10 to the 16 seconds.
Pretty much.
So what I say is that it is not each 10 to the minus 16 seconds, it is the frequency. So it is, you have to wait very long before a localization takes place for a single particle. Okay. This is only one and maybe one of the first of these approaches that try to put the localization into a context of a physical process. But there are others as well, which are, for instance, the approaches of Diozy and Penrose that I already mentioned, where they try to put the gravitation into the physics of quantum mechanics. This is, of course, difficult. But this makes the Schrödinger equation nonlinear. Actually, nonlinearity enough is not enough for all this. I would like here not really to go to the details because this, of course, nonlinear equation are pretty complicated, but just to write down one of these equations because I think it looks, it's... which is called the Schrödinger-Newton equation. So again, S and E, basically. And this is E H bar the psi over the t minus h bar squared divided to m. Of course, there is this, the second derivative. So this is exactly as the standard Schrodinger equation. But then there is a new piece, which is the mass of the body. And then there is the following quantity, minus gm integral of the wave function. OK, if we have only x here, then this will be the integral over dx prime. So this is, of course, in one dimension. And here I will have x minus x prime. And this I should also take it x prime. And that's it. So this is like the gravitational energy for the distribution given by the wave function. Because this is the, you see, this is just the integral over this, this quantity. And this is nonlinear because now psi doesn't, the potential depends on psi as well. So the basic idea is that the potential that you have here is not a function of x, but is, this is a general property, is a function of psi of x. So it's nonlinear.
What's the name of this big M?
It's the mass of the part. Wait. Yeah, yeah, sorry. Yeah. I should go back to big M. There is one mass.
G is gravitational.
Gravitational constant, yeah. Yeah, this is like this is why it's called Schrödinger-Newton equation. The problem of this kind of equation that if you do not put you put a kind of nonlinearity. And there are different examples of how putting this nonlinearity. It's just one example. But you don't put any stochastic process in it. You have you always go to some very often you go to some kind of superluminal to the possibility to send superluminal signals, which is bad. So this yeah, but even with non-relativistic quantum mechanics, you cannot send superluminal signal. So already non-relativistic QM doesn't kill superluminal, does is in agreement with relativity. But here, you could do. And how to make some generalization? Well, for that, one would need quantum gravity. No one really knows how to do that. So there are some works, especially by also Penrose, saying that, check one. Uh-huh. On the gravitization of quantum mechanics, quantum state reduction. First, I will say what was his idea. So suppose that, again, we put a beam splitter of this type, one photon that goes in, which can either go in or go here. And here he has this this nice device. Let's see if I can do the picture. So it was done. Ah, here. There is one detector that catches the photon, and this is attached to a machine that can move a big ball. So if the photon goes here, this ball is moved a bit to this position. And if the photon goes up, it doesn't change. So in that case, this is a device to transform. So this is a cat state. In order to transform the superposition of the photon going here or there into a superposition of positions of a big body. So Of course, in quantum mechanics, there is no problem. You could put this ball, let's say, into the position A or B. So, of course, if A is, I mean, let's say its wave function is Psi A of R, let's say, only the center, and here Psi B of R, both of them would be are eigenstates of the Hamilton operator and actually also the sum because of linearity. So you can have a superposition of such thing, of course, with a normalization. In quantum mechanics, as we discussed all this day, there is no problem in having something like that. But what is arguing by coming from actually consideration of general relativity is that there is a fundamental conflict with the principle of Einstein's that this superposition will collapse to either one or the other with, let's say, a kind of time of collapse, which is given by h bar divided a certain energy. And this energy is the energy of the difference of this field configuration minus the other field configuration. In this particular case, it is g m squared divided xb minus xa. So then this is now related to this. So this is the displace. Of course, g is a small quantity, though for small bodies you will never see, but big bodies automatically go to one or to the other. So this is somehow this was the approach that Penrose follows. It says you should take into account gravity. But actually, the point is that it doesn't have the equations, but no one has the equation of quantum gravity. But the idea is that it is gravity that is responsible for something like the collapse. Okay, let's see what else we can do. What time do we have? I don't know if to do the break now and to mount the Z, no? No, first I will do the following. I will tell something. So I would stop here with this. I will still look at this frequency stuff during the break, but I think I would like then to move to the Zeno effect, because there is exactly the good time. But before I will present something also on the computer, but first I would like to say something, so to say, on the blackboard on that. Consent just to close the discussion. I can give you also all the references for this kind of approaches and so on. And there is, by the way, a very beautiful review, which is this one, whose title is not here, but it is Model of Wave Function Collapse by Bassi et al. So I have it also in the PDF. I will show it in a second later. This is a RevMod phys where they really go to all possible models. And they also put the limits, so to say, for the new, because each of these new models has a kind of additional numbers, this lambda, this localization with RC and so on. And one can already, through experiments, put some bounds on them. And the very same author, some of the very same authors of this review, one of them is Bassi, they did a paper in 2017 in which they have a small cantilever, this is a small lever, which it is cooled down and so on. And actually what they found is that this object moves in a way that you cannot understand by thermic noise or by any other stuff. And they say this stuff is the localization, is an effect of the spontaneous localization on this object, which generates a kind of small movements of this that cannot be understood in any other way. Of course, I mean, as they also say in the end of the paper about this, improved non-interferometric test of collapse models using ultra-cold cantilevers. They tried to understand where this twiggles of the small movements of the stuff comes, they could exclude everything they, so to say, they can think, they could think of from thermic noise, fluctuations or whatever. So, but they say in the end, above all, this experiment neatly illustrates the fundamental challenge of collapse model testing. The negative results are robust, so the fact that they cannot explain these movements in other way than the collapse. But positive claims require extremely careful and systematic work. So before that we accept this approval of collapse, then of course one should have some definitely more experiments. But there is one published experiment where they say something like that, and it is, so to say, very, very new. Very new. And let's say, in general, our capacity, technical capacity to deal with, to put big states also in a quantum superposition and so on, is getting better and better. So tests, I think that the nice thing of this, all this model in which the collapse is real, are pretty much testable and will be tested in the near future. So at least they are physically testable. Many of them have seen some issue, like some of them, some linearity, which might lead to superluminal problems, or they still have some randomized features like the one of Girardi and so on, where you do not know where it comes from. So most probably they will not be the end of the story, but they are testable. So we can either rule them, or some of them will come out to be effectively true, and that would be obviously a revolution. So if we would find that one of these, that the collapse model are true, that there is a limit to putting a big object in a superposition and so on, that would be definitely, that would change, of course, that would be a new direction of studies. On the other hand, if we do not find anything like this, then we should see how we cope with the many worlds. So if there is no limit, then there is no other way than to accept, to put everything into a superposition. This is the final outcome.
Can I ask a question?
Yes?
Maybe I'm misunderstanding something, also in this GRW. So this collapse that is occurring has nothing to do with the collapse that is occurring when you're measuring. So if you have to wait so long...
When you measure, yeah, when you measure, you put your quantum state, you put the detector into a superposition. But that collapses very fast because it's a macroscopic body. You have Avogadro number and so on. Yeah? Yeah? Yes. So, no. You go on with the wave function. Even the measurement is a process which the wave function describes. You put even the detector into a superposition, definitely. But then, once you put a detector into a superposition, the collapse is very fast. So let's say that you take the electron, you have to wait very long to get the collapse. Then you make a measurement of the position, and this and the detector tries to split its wave function, but then you get the collapse immediately. It's the same mechanism, but then apply to the detector, yes?
So if you don't measure, you have to wait long. If you measure...
By itself it decays, yeah? To one or to the other, yeah. Yes. And usually each macroscopic body implies some switch of mass from one place to the other, so also the collapse model would work, also with the one with gravity, so to say. But Girardi, Rimini, Weber, they don't say nothing about the origin of this, why that should be. Let's say models with gravity would tell you why that takes place. So they are similar, but the GRV just says, we assume that there is this stuff. Penrose and Diose say, okay, this is gravity responsible for that. So that gives, so to say, a reason where it comes from. But GRV, no, this is, we have it, and that's it. Okay, now maybe I think it is better to do now a break, because then I think I will show it on the computer the next.